Shake hands with your neighbor before you're seated. Would you do that? There's some troubled waters here today, and well, Lawrence, we yeah, Pastor Chris and team, we want you to come back and sing that again in just a few minutes, but I just want to get into the Word here quickly. Some of you are going through a challenge of your life right now, and you don't have the strength to take another step. You're exhausted. Your natural strength is depleted. You've run to the end of your understanding, and you're ready to drop. That's the condition some people, even in this room, are in today. Facing a mountain, you don't know how you're going to move or go around. It looks impossible to you. And there will be times when you will not have enough natural strength to get you through. Anybody been there lately? I want to speak to you if you're in that condition this morning. And the word I want to give is Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. When you're at the end of your rope and you cannot put one foot in front of the other anymore to go any further, and you're ready to drop and collapse and call it a day and quit, that's the moment when the God who is able, I love that word being in there. That word describes our God. You may not be able, but he is able. Some of you are facing things that you can do nothing about. You have no control over the outcome of the next chapter in your life. But God does. You are not able, but he is able. I love this phrase. To do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Can you ask God to move the mountain? Yes. Can you think about him moving the mountain? Yes. Well, he can do above that. All that you're able to ask him for and all that you've ever thought of him doing, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that. And there will be times you will not have enough strength to go forward. That's when this power that works in us carries us the rest of the way. I want to speak on this title, Keeping Your Sail in God's Wind. A friend of ours, Brenda and I have known Roger and Pat Gosnell for 30-plus years. For many years, they served as pastors of a great church in North Carolina. They had four sons. All of them were grown. And they got a call in the middle of the night many years ago that no parent, no family wants to ever get. And the call was to inform them that their youngest son, who had been working the night shift at a convenience store, had been shot and killed by a robber. They quickly found out that a man had come into the store and their son was behind the cash register alone and wanted to rob the store and pointed a gun to their son's heart and at point blank range pulled the trigger and killed him instantly and was able to take only $50. We knew Roger and Pat, still do. Saw them just 2 or 3 weeks ago. And our hearts broke for what they were going through. Can you imagine? Some of you have gone through that or worse. And the next time after that happened, we were with Roger and Pat in a small ministers group setting, and they shared what they were going through, having lost their son tragically. And Roger made this statement. He said, "I had come to the end of myself. I had prayed and couldn't get an answer. It seemed like God was nowhere to be found. I was searching and could not find him." And he said, "I finally fell on my face and cried out to God. And I said, 'God, it feels like you've taken your wind out of my sail.'" And he said he heard the Lord say, "I've not taken my wind out of your sail. You have taken your sail out of my wind." And somebody needs to hear today that you can make an adjustment in your life, just like Pastor Steve just shared. An adjustment and find the wind of God to pick you up from wherever you are. Whatever that mountain might look like to you today, the wind of God can get you over it. Keeping your sail in God's wind, it is the secret to powering through. Now, sometimes we get under so much stress, it really becomes anguish and torment mentally and physically and spiritually. Sometimes financial pressure will bring this on. Sometimes a loss of direction where a young woman or a young man can look at their life the way it is right now and see no hope of improvement ever. It's just not true. What do you need to do? You need to get your sail back in God's wind. Sometimes physical health challenges in your own life will bring you so much stress, you're on overload all the time, overdrive all the time, and stretched and stressed to the breaking point. Sometimes it's a family member in a health crisis, and it will consume every hour of your day for days and weeks and months on end. Our family has been through that, and probably so has your family. So much stress at times and in seasons of our life to where we have no more strength left. And that's when this power that works in us makes a difference. An Old Testament prophet felt that way. The great one, Elijah. He was God's prophet for his generation. He had just prayed a prayer, and fire had fallen from heaven and convinced the known world of that day that our God, Jehovah, is the true God. Because of Elijah's prophetic prayer and fire falling from heaven, hundreds of false prophets lost their false authority in one moment, and they were all killed at Elijah's direction. What a powerful prophet of God. The same man who had prophesied that there would not be a drop of rain to fall from the sky for 3.5 years, and there was not. And then he prayed again, and rain hit the earth. A man with that kind of position in God and that kind of power from God. And yet, In one day, he went from being the powerful prophet with miracles to running for his life, afraid of a woman that said, I'm going to kill you within 24 hours. By tomorrow this time, you're going to be dead, just as dead as the prophets. You had killed the false prophets. And he went from being the most powerful, untarnished, uncompromised prophet of his day immediately to a coward running for his life. The Bible says he was exhausted and he ran for his life. His natural strength was depleted. He was overwhelmed at the attack that was coming against him, and he thought of dying. That's how bad it was. He prayed, enough, God, let me die already. He ran for his life as fast and as far as he could, and he only took his most trusted armor bearer with him. Just one person, the most trusted. And even then, he reached a place where the Bible said he left his trusted armor bearer and then went another day's journey away from him. He's in a place now, stress, he's overwhelmed, he's thinking of dying, he don't know any way out, he's running for his life, and he has nobody left that he trusts at all. Everybody's gone. He feels all alone. And the Bible said he went to sleep under a tree. And an angel came while he was sleeping and brought a cake that was freshly baked and water, something for Elijah to eat and drink. Elijah woke up, saw the provision of God, the cake and the water that was miraculously provided for him, and then went back to sleep. So bad, his circumstances so bad. No hope, no way out, hungry, and yet would rather crawl in a fetal position and sleep in the wilderness under a tree, just shut my eyes and let it all go away again. Would rather live like that than eat when you're hungry. How bad his situation was. And the angel that brought him the cake appeared again. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, just when he was ready to kill himself, just when he had no appetite for life, would rather sleep and die, God showed up and provided food to give him strength. He had no strength, not just strength for a day, but strength that carried him on the journey for 40 days and 40 nights. And on the strength of the provision God gave him, he was able to get to the mountain of God. What we need is the food that gives us strength. And today our food from heaven is the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every time I open this book, he opens his mouth, and the food he serves us gives us strength, all the strength we need to power through whatever we're facing, and we too will get to the mountain of God. Now, seasons come and go. You know what they're like. Life comes in seasons. Some are good, some not so much. Some are brief, some are longer. Seasons change and the winds start blowing from a different direction. Have you noticed everything's fine one day? Every day for a while has been pleasant and wonderful. Not a speed bump, not a cloud in the sky. And then all of a sudden, like a curved ball you didn't see coming, a phone call comes or something happens that begins to challenge every peaceful and joyful opportunity you would have. And in many cases, you go into a season not knowing how long this is going to last or how you're going to get through. You don't even see a light appearing at the other side. It's because seasons come and go and winds blow from different directions when seasons change. Here's a truth, you may want to write it down or remember it. Even when the winds are blowing against you, you can still get where you're going if you adjust the sail. You can still get to the top of the mountain. You can still get to the destination, even when the winds are contrary to you. If you adjust the sail, it's the power that works in us. I'm so grateful. Our family just got through 3.5 weeks of a season. Every day was a stretch. Our special needs nephew, Derek, was in intensive care, had seizures that they could not stop, and his life has been challenging since he was born. He's 41 and speaks at the level of a three-year-old, maybe. He lives in a wonderful place now in Hartsville, the Salibi Center. They are so great at taking care of people with special needs like our nephew. And even with their wonderful care, 3.5 weeks in the hospital, most of those days in intensive care, and several of those days on life support. And for me, and especially for Brenda and her dad, every day, hours at the hospital in intensive care, exhausted. You know, when you're going through a season of stress, you don't really know how exhausted you are until it's over and you can collapse, and then it hits you. So we need to draw on the power that is at work in us, the power that the God who is able gave to us to get us through adversity and to help us get to where we need to go regardless of the way the wind is blowing. Even when it's blowing against you, you can still get to where you're going. But you might need to adjust your sail. The Bible has a lot to say about the power of God, this power that works in us. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." How many of you have ever witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you? Well, then you have received power. And it's the power that's at work inside you. God doing what you cannot see yet, like we just sang. God doing what you cannot feel yet. We just sang it. But you're certain he's up to something, and this power that's at work in you gets you through when you have no more natural strength to go any further. Mark chapter 12 and verse 24, listen to the connection here. Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God." The connection here. The word of God from scripture and the power of God. They go together. If you don't know one, you will not know the other. He said, "Are you not mistaken?" One translation says, "Aren't you deceived? Because you don't know the word of God, nor the power of God." Another place in the Gospels, as Jesus taught, the Bible says they were astonished at his teaching because his word was with power. You can't separate the word of God, which is our daily bread, from the power of God that's working in us. They go together. Hebrews 1:3 says, "He upholds all things by the word of his power." There it is, the two of them together. Again, they're inseparable. You can't go very far without both of them, his word and his power. In Romans 1:16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Have you believed on Jesus? Then the power of the gospel is at work in you for salvation. And that doesn't just mean you get to go to heaven instead of hell. You're saved and you have salvation. That word salvation is sozo in the Greek, and it means a full and complete provision in every area that you're lacking in your life. Salvation from God, the power of the gospel that's working in you, means healing when you're sick, and finances when you're broke, and direction when you're lost, and fellowship when you're lonely. It means rescue when you're in danger. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power. The good news from God is the power to save you in every area of your life for everyone who believes. And then this is a verse we often just read and go right over, but listen. The Bible says, "For as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God." We have this superpower in us as believers. So important to discern the way the winds are blowing and to make sure our sail is in God's wind. I asked someone recently, and it is a popular question, it's a secular question. I've heard it asked over the years. It's a fantasy, it's ridiculous. But the question was, and I asked it recently of a couple of people, if you could have one superpower, what would you choose? And the two most popular answers are, "I'd love to be invisible." That's a superpower. The second most popular is, "I'd love to be able to fly." That's a superpower. But the truth is, regardless of what challenge we're facing right now in this season, we have a secret superpower. It's the power that works in us, and it gives us the ability to power through. Sometimes you just have to power through. I've been through seasons in my life, and thankfully, they were seasons. They came and they went. But when I was in that season, I had no choice. I had no option. You just get up every day and you power through. Now, you don't do that in your own strength very long. You'll collapse if that's what. You reach a place to where you, it don't matter whether you got any more strength or not. It's the power of God. It's the wind of God. Our sail is set to ride on His wind, and He gets us through to the top of the mountain. We just don't quit until we get there. Now, Paul, the great apostle, had every right to be overwhelmed, to be stressed out, and to literally snap beyond repair. The great apostle, oh, he was a man. He dealt with stuff we deal with. I'll just read some of what he wrote, referring to what he had been through. He said, I have served God. I have worked harder than many. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped so many times. I have faced death again and again. 5 different times, I was given 39 lashes on my back. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And in that day, when a person was stoned, it was usually capital punishment. They kept throwing boulders at your head until they left you for dead. Even that happened to Paul. And he said, 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day lost at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and waters and from thieves and robbers on the journey. I have faced danger from my own people, false friends, as well as from outsiders. I have faced danger when I've been in the city, and I've faced dangers in the desert and on the seas. I've faced danger from men who claimed to be believers but are not. I've worked long and I've endured many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty. I've gone often without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothes to keep me warm. And besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. I'm worn out just reading about it. Man had every right to be overwhelmed. People are overwhelmed these days, rightfully so. You would think in the most modern age in the history of the planet, when everything is so convenient for us, we would be the least overwhelmed generation ever. But we're not. We're the most overwhelmed. It seems that challenges come more than one at a time now and from more than one direction. But Paul, who said all that, he had been through all that, had one thing to happen in his life. I won't even get into the theology of that. It's not serving a purpose this morning. But it was such an attack on him. He went to God and said, please remove this from my life. Didn't hear anything from God. He went the second time and said, God, please take this from me. Nothing from God. He went the third time and said, God, please handle this. Deliver me. Get this out of my life. And God answered. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, here's God's answer. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, only Holy Scripture could put some phrases like this out there for us to live by. My strength, he said, is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, he said, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ, there's that power again, may rest upon me. That word rest in the Greek means to cover you like a tent. I like to think of it like this. When our girls were small, they had a security blanket. It made them feel safe, and they could find real rest if they had that blanket. And the power of God rests like a blanket covering us, because His grace is like the wind when we need it. When we want to be delivered instantly, immediately, the way we want out of a situation, and when we want out and it doesn't happen, God is saying, but I'm going to give you the ability to get through it. And yes, you're weak right now. You're dealing with this weakness, but that's when my power is made perfect. And Paul had a revelation of that, and so he never again asked God to take this out of my life. But he began bragging and boasting. The King James Version says he began glorying in that thing he had asked God to take it away, because he was aware, oh, the power of God, like a blanket, is covering me in this thing. And even though it is a weakness for me, because of His grace, I'm able to get through it. And it's the perfect situation right now for God's power to be made real. The next verse, he said ridiculous something now. He said it, oh my God. Therefore, I take pleasure in it. Now wait, just the one sentence earlier. Please take this away from me. Three times I begged, and it didn't leave. But what happened? He had a revelation of grace. I have a definition of grace nobody else ever has. It's original to me, and God gave it to me, and it happened 20 years ago. And I had a couple in the church, a husband and a wife, that were fighting like cats and dogs in their house. A husband and a wife. I would say what they... I should not say what was happening. And they were... And I saw them do that for a few weeks. And then all of a sudden, it changed. I mean, I noticed a change. They didn't quarrel and carry on like that anymore. And I was walking out of Shoney's restaurant when I saw this couple, a husband and a wife, walk in. And they were famous for fighting. And it was obvious they had not fought as bad lately. And so just in that brief moment, didn't have much time at all in passing there at the door of the restaurant, I said, excuse me, but it seems like y'all are getting along better. And they said, we are. And I said, what happened? And the wife said, all of a sudden it just got easier. And when she said it, I felt like the Lord was giving me a definition of grace. The grace of God will take a difficult thing and make it easy. God, will you take this away from me, please? Please, the second time. Please, the third time. I'm begging here. My grace is sufficient for this. In fact, yeah, it is a weakness for you, but it's the opportunity for my strength to be revealed and my power to go to work in you. So that changed everything. Paul went on a dime from begging God to remove this thing from him. So I'm taking pleasure in it now. In infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, this is verse 10, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That sounds paradoxical. It sounds contradictory. It sounds ridiculous to the natural mind. but because of a revelation of God's grace that hit him like a ton of bricks. Right in the, I mean, between verse 9 and verse 10, everything changed for Paul. Then it didn't really matter so much if or when this thing was removed. But he had something just as good, and that was God's grace and God's strength, even in his weakness. And he said, oh, when I'm weak, that's when I become strong. And so I'm going to take pleasure in it. Now, I know, in the natural, you can't do that. Some of you are facing a mountain right now, and in the natural, you'd be crazy to say, you know, I'm going to start being pleased with this. No, you don't have to be that extreme, but at least be pleased with his grace that's available. And be pleased with the provision, the bread, the word he gives you, and the wind, the power of the Spirit. Just make sure your sail is set just right. Sometimes an adjustment in our attitude will take care of the sail. Rest on me. The power rests like a blanket covering me, like a tent you crawl under when you play tent as a child. Now, Paul, closing his letter to the Ephesians, talked about the strength of God, the power of God to get us through. And he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And then it says the strangest thing, having done everything to stand. Stand. Having done everything to stand. Stand. I mean, it's not eloquent. It's just blunt. It's just, you know, wouldn't you like a softer version? You know, a workaround that would make it a little more palatable, easier to receive and go to work with. I mean, okay, well, God, I've done everything to stand. Now, what do you want me to do now? Stand. That's the next thing you do. I know it's ridiculous to the natural mind, but to those of us who have received him, he gave us power to become the sons of God. Let's not minimize or compromise or discount that at all. Having done everything in your natural strength to stand, then now is the time the spirit man that lives on the inside of you says, I'm going to stand now. Having done all to stand, just stand, keep on standing. He told the church to put on the whole armor of God. I won't talk about that because of time, but that'll help you stand. Get every piece of that armor in place, and having done all that, you just keep standing. And then when you're going through a season, and we've been through one for 3.5 weeks, thankfully, this season's over. You don't know, by this afternoon, we have another season. The wind might change again. Who knows? Life is filled with seasons, and God changes the times and the seasons. Well, no, the devil does that. No, God does it. Daniel 2:21. Read it at home. God changes the times and the seasons. Sometimes when you're in the thick of a heavy season and so much pressure overwhelms you and you just don't have any more natural strength to do it again tomorrow, what you need is refreshing. Refreshing. And there's one place you get it. You don't have to go to another church. You don't have to move to another city. You don't have to change jobs. You don't have to divorce your spouse and remarry somebody else. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Now, where is his presence? It should be wherever we are. Wherever we are. He's with us all the time. He promised, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And so wherever you are at your house right now, with the mess you may be going through, He is there with you, and His presence can refresh you. The problem we have usually is when there's so much overwhelming pressure and stress coming against us, we're not aware of His presence. Now, and that's why, and I'm not perfect. God help me, Jesus. I am not a perfect man. I am so aware of my flaws. And some of you probably are too. I know some of you are. But I would be much worse if I didn't take some time in the mornings just to be still. I do it as soon as I wake up. Now, that's not made me perfect. It's helping, I think. I'm getting my sails set, you know. But there's nothing like it. Now, it may not work for you. It's all right. You work out your own. Work it out for your own self. Whatever works, but in for me, in the morning, get up early. I don't even hear the clock never goes off. Now, I'm asleep early, and I get up early, and I have some time that's quiet. Some of you may need to see what time of the day can be still for you. It may be early morning. For me, it is. Early morning, before the phone starts ringing, before my phone starts pinging, and my phone starts dinging, and it's just, the Bible says, be still and know. Be still. Some of you are in such a frenzy, you're so worn out, and you've had to be. It's been the season you're in, and you're depleted and exhausted. You need refreshing, and you find it when you are still. Still enough to know He is God. And times of refreshing come from that stillness when it's just you and God. You in the presence of the Lord. That's when you leave refreshed. Yesterday's Jesus calling devotion included this. The practice of being still in my presence is almost a lost art. Yet it is this very stillness that enables you. During times of severe testing, even the best theology can fail you if it isn't accompanied by an experience of knowing me. The ultimate protection against sinking during life's storms is spending some of your time alone with me. There's nothing that can refresh a believer any more than being still and knowing it's God. Finding ourselves alone together with Him in His presence. Times of refreshing come then. And then I remember T.D. Jakes saying this. I was there when he said it. And he's my favorite preacher. And he said, I was shocked when he began the statement. He said, I never come in to the presence of God because I never leave the presence of God. He said, I dwell in His presence all the time. And I thought, I've got to set my sail in that wind right there. I've got to find out eventually how to stay there all the time. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Would you stand with me? I want this great praise team to